Wouldn't it be wonderful if only you could refer to an instructional manual to live a healthier life, make a fortune by way of the lottery, get the babysitter to stop eating you out of house and home, or perhaps succeed in business without really trying? Well, we may not have that magical instruction book for you to read, but we can highly recommend you see the latest extraordinary musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, at Muhlenberg Summer Theater. Yes, The Dastard's Guide to Fame and Fortune, that 1952 humor book by Shepard Mead, later a 1961 Broadway musical, and a 1967 motion picture, comes to you live in all its glory. A smash hit on Broadway, playing more than 1,400 performances. It won 8 Tony Awards, the 1962 Pulitzer Prize for Best Drama, and made millionaires of some of its theatergoers. Ah, think about it. And as a bonus, you don't have to read the book. You just go and be entertained at the same time. We guarantee you'll be glad you did. In addition to seeing the sneaky, cynical, irreverent, sly, and simply lovely musical, you can bump shoulders with Broadway star, TV personality, and Muhlenberg alumni, Frankie Grande, who happens to be in our studio right here. Look, here, I'm going to pinch him.
Ow!
Sorry, Frankie. He's here with director and co-founder of the Muhlenberg Summer Theater, premiering, of course, in 1980, Charles Richter. And today's broadcast is just for you. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, where you'll always find many choices, real voices. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with director Charles Richter and with Frankie Grande of Muhlenberg Summer Theater. Welcome. So good to see you again.
Oh my God, it's so good to see you. That was the greatest introduction I've ever received in my entire life. That was amazing.
It was heartfelt.
I do have to say, it is Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that, music being an important part of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 38th year at the Baker Center for the Arts and the Trexler Pavilion for Theater and Dance. So,
I was there when it opened.
Were you there
when the building first opened.
What was the first show?
In the new Trexler Pavilion?
Beggar's Opera. Beggar's Opera Pirates.
Beggar's Opera. Jim Peck directed the production of Beggar's Opera.
I was in it.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, Frank. You might as well cut to the chase. You've been back to Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater before as well. You're a 2005 graduate of Muhlenberg.
Yes.
Triple major. And you've been back to do work here before. What brings you back? What draws you back?
I mean, the man sitting to my right, absolutely, Charlie Richter. And the program, I've just always felt so much of my success in my career is due to the fact that I was trained at Muhlenberg. Mm-hmm. Like, the relationships that I've made with my instructors have carried me through my career. And they are friends. Like, I do feel like returning back, like, it's me and Charlie and it's Karen, and we're exactly where we were. We're in that rehearsal hall and we're on that stage, and it feels like home. So it's wonderful to come back, and it's also great to see the new talent, because that was also something I was always blown away by at Muhlenberg. Everyone is so talented and it's so strong. So it's nice to return home and see that. That is exactly the case still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot of Muhlenberg alum in this show, aren't there, mm-hmm. Charlie?
Oh, yeah. We've been working. The Summer Theater has more and more become a place for Muhlenberg, current Muhlenberg students and Muhlenberg alumni to work together in preparing top-quality musical theater entertainment. So, for example, in this production, we have Frankie from 2005. Graduate 2005. Our leading lady playing Rosemary is Meredith Doyle, who graduated in 2014. Mm-hmm. She was with us last summer. She played Liza Doolittle in My Fair Lady. We have then a whole large group of current Muhlenberg students who are working with us. Zach Love graduated 2 years ago playing Bud Frump. Mm-hmm. So it's in a way our repertory company, and our very successful first production of Beauty and the Beast was also full of Muhlenberg alums and current Muhlenberg students. And it's one of the things the primary mission of the Summer Theater is on one level to provide great entertainment for the people of the Lehigh Valley, but on another level to serve as a training ground mm-hmm. for our students who are going out And working in the profession. And they're all over the profession doing lots of different things. But very often they like to come back and just have a taste of home, as, yes. as Frankie would a taste of home, as Frankie would say. And it's just a great privilege to be able to, you know, stay in contact with students after they leave us. And we have, at this point, I've been at Muhlenberg for 40 years. We have students who have returned and become professors in the department. Mm. We have students that come back and design for us. We have on our stage now, running concurrently with How to Succeed, is Tal, our big circus production.
Oh, yes.
And that's a completely homegrown work with Muhlenberg alumni, alumni director, alumni designers, alumni and current student actors. And to see that work being generated from our training program is very, very exciting for us.
And also training, when you mentioned training, like I come back to get trained as well. Like this role that, you know, Pierpont Finch is a beast. And it's something that I'm like, I am training here to be able to do this massive role. And it's a great chance to like just stretch my chops again and have some teachers like Karen Dearborn was like, okay, Frankie, the reason why you're not landing in fourth and holding it is because your arms are going out and they need to come up around and down. And I was like, that's great. I missed that kind of feedback, you know?
We might mention that Karen is the choreographer.
Karen Dearborn, she's the founder of the Muhlenberg Dance Program and is a tremendous choreographer and really moves our kids to levels that, you know, would not otherwise be possible. In fact, this production of How to Succeed is much dancier than most productions. We've expanded the dance segments and I'm continuously amazed with what we can turn out. We work with a relatively short rehearsal period and the dance numbers are just really dynamic and exciting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because How to Succeed, of course, is set in an office building in Manhattan and all the dancers are wearing suits.
Yep.
All the male dancers, right. The male dancers are wearing suits, and the women are wearing, you know, fifties fashions.
Oh.
And the other night, you know, we said to ourselves, will they be able, you know, because the dancing is extremely physical. People are crawling on the floor. People are rolling around, doing leaps, jumps. I mean, Frankie's like flying all over the stage.
That's true.
And we said to the costume people who are wonderful, we have a wonderful costume shop and a great designer, Hunter Kozorski. We said, you know, we better put them in the suits to see if this is going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
And we got them in the suits. And like, that's the hook in the numbers is to see these guys in business suits doing these incredibly physical dance numbers. And I think it's really going to be exciting for the audience to see that.
Of course, the musical centers itself on J. Pierpont Finch, who is a window washer and works himself up to the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
And maybe even further by the time the musical ends.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah.
So how can you relate? I mean, how do you relate to these characters as opposed to some of the other roles that you played at Muhlenberg?
Well, I mean, interesting you say that. Like, my career has kind of been like Finch's in a way where, like, I just walk through a door, I follow the opportunity that's in front of me, it pans out, it's great, and then I do it all over again.
Lovely.
That's kind of been, like, what happened. Like, I've been well-trained, well-prepared, and it's always about, like, when luck meets preparation, and I've just stumbled into the lucky situation very often, but also, you know, been very well prepared for that.
And it also helps. I mean, he's being modest, but Frankie has an astonishing work ethic, which he's always had, and
you,
has
Charlie.
Always worked to build his skills. And in rehearsal, it's always a question of how can I do this better, and that's really the key to success. And that's sort of the values that we try to instill in our students.
Yes.
You know, we are a kind of unique theater training program in that we are in a liberal arts college, and we put a really big emphasis on the training of the intellect as well as training of the body and just technical skills, and we work with intellectual skills, and we find that we want our students to be really smart, which makes it a great pleasure to work because they understand what we're doing. They understand how this works. I mean, The you know, How to Succeed is an interesting show in that it's very much sort of sits in 1961, which was a time of sort of transition. Whereas, you know, in Frank Lesser, who is really the genius behind this work, I mean, when you're working on the show, and I think our students have learned to appreciate this,
The lyrics are so great,
and Lesser is an artist of such a high order.
Mm-hmm.
The way he melds music and lyrics is just incredible genius. Mm. And, you know, his first big success was Guys and Dolls, which was in the early 50s, which was sort of a celebration of kind of a suburban ethos and a kind of, you know, oh, it's great, the women all want to just, you know, have the house in the suburbs and they're going to live happily ever after and everything is going to be great. And by 1961, there's a much more jaundiced view of what's going on. The leading lady still wants the house in New Rochelle, as she sings beautifully and happy to keep his dinner warm as he comes wearily home from downtown. But you get a sense that we're dealing in the world of satire now.
Yes, we are.
And that there's an awareness that beneath all of this, there's a kind of flimsy value system that isn't going to hold up.
Mm.
There's a beginning to be a realization that the suburban dream of America and the suburban, you know, and the dream of, like, I'm going to be the chairman of the board and the success in business and everything's going to be wonderful is kind of collapsing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
and
it's,
maybe a sense, too, it seems to me that with Finch's rise, it's a kind of, as you said, Frankie, taking opportunities. But it's not the story of, oh, just working so hard to get
not at
it's
all.
Being savvy and smart and cynical about it.
Very clever, very on your feet. I mean, I the thing that's been interesting for me as an actor playing Finch is to watch him change tactics within a sentence. Like, you just, like, he's going after one thing, and then maybe that doesn't go exactly the way he was thinking about it. And in mid-sentence, he will completely change to a different tactic, and it will work, which is just unbelievable. So it's been really interesting as an actor getting to find those little nuanced moments.
Yeah. So that takes us back to the conversation we had before the show about the understanding of musicals. The music, of course, is vital, but that's being an actor in it. To be a skilled and alive and alert, smart actor in a piece that calls for that kind of understanding of a character.
Yeah.
And that kind of complexity.
Yes, and it's interesting because the book is very word-heavy for Finch. It is. So, like, for much of the early rehearsal process, it was just getting those. When you come to see it, you're going to be like, what is he saying? Like, how does he say all of those things? Which, that was the beginning. That was, like, the first layer. And now that I have that part into me, it's very much just getting to live the life of Finch. And, like, he actually did study and rehearse this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, Finch does not know this material. It says in the beginning that he's actually, like, you know, he's a wonder washer. He is uneducated. He never went to college. So he's sitting there and memorizing these lines the same way Frankie Grande is sitting at home memorizing these lines. And now we both get to go out on that stage and just live.
You know, he just sits there and mouths this kind of business school cant and you know, aphorisms, which are obviously ridiculous. And you know, the book writers of the piece, I think, are really deconstructing American life in a way. You know, some people wonder why did this piece win the Pulitzer Prize? I think it won the Pulitzer Prize because, in fact, at its moment, and I think still, it still functions as a piece of social criticism.
Yes.
And about American life and ethos.
I was going to ask you about that. There are ramifications of the musical which have affected our contemporary society. Affected or infected, one or the other.
It's still true. It's still vital. Yeah. The Pulitzer Prize is a good point. I had thought about that, and that's your take on that, because that was my sense of it, that it's not just that it's a beautifully constructed, successful piece, it's what it's talking
about. It's very much a musical comedy in a traditional sense.
Exactly.
The first musical comedy ever to win a Pulitzer Prize was Of the I Sing, which was about the American political system, and it was, again, social satire.
Mm-hmm.
And when they gave this show the prize, it was, again, social satire. Mm-hmm. It's not a romantic musical. It's funny because there's a love story that's central to the piece, but there aren't any romantic ballads.
No.
The one romantic ballad in the piece, the one romantic number in the piece is a total send-up and completely ridiculous. And as soon as it's over, the romance explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so
it becomes a romance about self, almost halfway through the song.
We are ever so awaiting the moment where we can go and see How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, runs July the 11th through the 29th at, of course, the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater. And we're chatting with Charles Richter and Frankie Grande. We'll be right back after this salient message.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Baum School of Art, 510 Linden Street, Allentown, enriching lives through arts education for the past 90 years. Classes in art, design, and fashion for children, teens, and adults. For more information, baumschool.org or 610-433-0032.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Hi, we're back. This is Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, George Miller and Kate Scuffle, and we're chatting with Director Charles Richter and actor Frankie Grande.
Hello.
Of Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater, for How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
And we were talking a little bit about before the break about the Pulitzer Prize in the sense of the musical being a kind of social satire, mm-hmm. what it has to say about our culture. So I can think of lots of reasons, but I'm curious from both of you, why perform it in 2018? What's the resonance right now?
Because nothing's changed.
Well, it's funny because, with the rise of the Me Too movement and things like there's a real awareness in the piece.
Yes.
Of workplace harassment.
Yes.
As being a major problem.
Yes. I
mean, in fact, it's sort of, They knew. I mean, there's one of the big numbers in the show. The show has very odd production numbers. Yeah. One of the production numbers is about we've run out of coffee and we're losing our minds. And the other large production number is about sexual harassment.
Yeah,
which is the secretary is not a toy.
Yeah,
and this is not June is busting out all over.
No,
and these numbers are both highly cynical and aware of their world. I mean, these are serious. Sexual harassment is a serious issue, but even just raising it on the Broadway stage as an issue, was in its time really important, and it helps us realize where we're coming from. I mean, when I first went back to the piece and looked at the piece, I said, "Wow! I mean, it's funny, it's cute, and all of those things, but also it's reflecting a reality, the reality of the world, and also on another level, it reflects the sort of ridiculousness of American corporate structure.
Yes, it does.
There's a tendency in America to go, oh, we should run it like a business. We tend to lionize the titans of industry, whereas this piece sort of completely blows that apart, and it just shows that it's just backbiting, it's just ridiculous politics, and like any other situation, highly competitive, and there's a kind of masculinist drive that doesn't work. And in the end, I think it's very telling that you never know what the product is that this company is. It's called Wickets.
Worldwide Wickets.
We don't know what they are.
It's Wickets, and it's never explained. We never know what Wickets are. It's just, and it really just sort of takes us through, how these corporate structures are really silly. I think, and this comes from Shepard Mead. I think Shepard Mead was a very, very smart guy. And the book that the show is based on still is very, very funny and very relevant. Because mm-hmm. I think corporations often get eaten by their culture. And I think that's what this play is really dealing with.
In the process of the production, we noticed something that I've not noticed before. And maybe it's because there are a lot of alumni in the production. On Thursday, July the 19th, there's a post-show alumni panel with not only Frankie but other alumni from the show. And we're going to talk specifically about the show and anything else that comes up.
But I think that'd be a wonderful opportunity for the audience. I'm sure it's what you're thinking, audience, to have the kind of conversation we're having, Frankie, about why you come back to Muhlenberg, what did Muhlenberg offer you, what's it like to come back. One of the alumni said, it's like a wonderful summer camp.
Yeah.
But I imagine it's about also touching base with why you did this to begin with your teachers and with... because I would think in a moment of college, a hardworking program like this is still a moment where you're ready to leap into that professional world, but still working together in a way that allows you freedom and passion and good teachers. And it must be wonderful to have that kind of opportunity to revisit.
Yeah, and well, just in general, like academia, right? Like academia is the center of Muhlenberg's theater program, which is phenomenal to me, which means, like, you know, you have to exchange knowledge. And that's why, you know, I've come back here to teach what I've learned and learn what I still haven't, you know, all at once, which is like this wonderful dialogue. And that's why I'm so excited to do the talk back, because I feel like, as someone who has gone out into the world and been successful both on Broadway and television and film, like there is stuff that their people want to ask, and I definitely want to tell them. And, you know, just being back again and just being back in that sense of like learning has been so nourishing for me. So it's a two-way street.
Which brings us, of course, to something that's vitally important too, and I'd like to touch on just for a moment, is the Muhlenberg College Theater and Dance Department. I see what is lined up is Machinal.
Yeah,
by Sophie Treadwell.
Yeah, that's our opening show in the fall season.
Wow,
we have a guest,
my favorite show of all time.
We have a wonderful guest director, Lou Jacob, coming in to do the piece. Mm-hmm. It's already been cast, in fact, and it's going to rehearsal in a couple of weeks. We always try. I mean, Muhlenberg. What's one of the things interesting about the Muhlenberg Department of Theater and Dance that we do an incredibly eclectic repertoire,
yes,
ranging from things like How to Succeed in Business. Next season, we're going to be doing Brigadoon, and we're all looking forward to that. At the same time, we're doing Machinal. We're doing original student work. We'll be doing the Lehigh Valley premiere. We're very excited of Mr. Burns. We're doing the Lehigh Valley premiere of Annie Washburn's Mr. Burns, which is an incredible show.
Best Schachter is directing. Yeah, right?
Best Schachter. It's a play about the dystopian future where the only relics from the past are videos of The Simpsons.
Oh my God!
And it includes a big opera in the third act. We're going to be doing on our main stage Lin-Manuel Miranda's 21 Chump Street. We've always tried to expose our students to an incredible range of things, ranging from popular entertainment to really edgy material. I know when Frankie was in school, one of the first projects he did was a adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes, crazy. Anything's Dream.
Anything's Dream.
That we took
to New York.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it was an original piece by a major American playwright. And we're always trying something new, something different, and we're always trying to take our students on a journey of self-discovery, and I think that's really what really informs us. Having students that have the ability to play roles like Finch comes out of a sense that we try to build our students' sense of self, who they are, which allows them to get on the stage and really take command of a situation. I think one of the great things about the experience of doing How to Succeed is to have our students sitting in the room with somebody like Frankie, who is like having to work incredibly hard to get through the evening. I mean, it's just a big physical demand. It's a big emotional demand. It's a big intellectual demand. Yeah. And to watch that and to see and to let them see that, yeah, I can learn to do that. Mm. It is possible for me to do that, but it's going to take a great deal of hard work.
Well, the program is absolutely fantastic, not only the music theater, but also the regular season of things that you're doing, like new voices from new people from Muhlenberg who
we were always encouraged. We have some really wonderful student-written plays and new voices. Mm-hmm. We try to really have our students have a total experience. We not only train them as theater performers and as musical theater performers, we're also training them as circus performers.
The Tal Circus
is just really breathtaking, and it's a beautiful production. It's going to be until the 28th of July, and tickets are selling real fast for that. So people, you know, really should try to get in and see it. It's for kids and for adults. It's just a wonderful experience.
Here's something that I would like to know, Frankie, from your personal standpoint, of how to make it on Broadway with really trying.
Yeah, how to make it on Broadway. So, interestingly, my first Broadway show was Mamma Mia. So I graduated from college, and Charlie and I had a very a deep talk about whether or not I should get my equity card. So immediately I was offered to be Boots the Monkey in Dora the Explorer Live. Mm-hmm. And they were going to give me my equity card. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, Charlie, do I take my equity card? And, you know, we spoke very frankly, and he was like, listen, your goal is Broadway, right? Like, that's what you want. I was like, yes. And he was like, and you have a biology major, you're pre-med, like, so if you don't go on Broadway, you're going to go to med school. I was like, yes. He was like, great, take your card. Took my card, went to New York City, and I started auditioning, and I auditioned for Mamma Mia twice and did not get kept, like, just went straight, just got cut immediately. Mm-hmm. And then I auditioned for High School Musical, the national tour. I booked it. And that same day when I booked High School Musical, I was just so excited and, like, feeling myself. I went back to the Mamma Mia call. And I was there for 350 guys. Oof. And I was dancing and I did it. And then they kept me. And I was like, okay, sure. And then they cut it down to 3 guys. And I was like, oh, my God. And then they cut it down to 2. It was me and my friend Neil Haskell, who ended up being on, like, 4 seasons of So You Think You Can Dance. Like, the most brilliant dancer you've ever seen in your life. Mm-hmm. And I got to that final callback and I sang, and when I sang, you saw the musical director's face like just pop up and just stare right at me, and then I was like, wait, did I just book this? And then I got home and I got the call that night, and they were like, you booked Mamma Mia. And I was like, where? Because mm-hmm. at the time there were 2 national tours, I think a show in Vegas and the Broadway show. So it was like, and they were like, Broadway, and I was like,
so it's not so easy, but it's a real decision maker at the moment, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And again, like,
but
that's
with your
what I'm
talent,
saying.
I'm sure you'll have no problem.
But it's perseverance, too. It's yes. like you have yes. to go to those equity chorus calls a million times. Yes. And, mm-hmm. like, for one slot. It's a chorus line. You're standing on the line for one place.
Right.
And you may get it.
So you can succeed in business without trying, but not show business.
Yeah, no, you got to try.
Try.
Yeah.
Thank
you definitely
for,
have to try.
For coming out, and we're going to see you in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and of course all of the things that are happening at the Muhlenberg Summer Music Theater and the regular theater season through the school year. Charles, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
I love you, Frankie. You're great.
I love you too. This is wonderful.
This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Arts Salon.